Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh. Hey, buddy.
Where right now I want to remind you that I picked the Bucks to go to the NBA Finals. Oh, wait. Brooklyn has the lead. No. I did not pick the Bucks. Oh, no, wait. Now it's tied. Nope. I did pick the Bucks. Nope, the Bucks have the lead. I tell you what,
you liked them after the first quarter.
Yeah.
And then they forgot to play in the second, and suddenly all of that melted away.
You know,
what a game. And then there's like 9 minutes where nobody scores.
Right, and that's the thing. How many times did you see online today that what was it? Was it Vegas that needed the Bucks and the under tonight to win? Right, was that what it was? Like, I saw a lot of Bucks in the under tonight. Look,
well, just the way that Brooklyn had been scoring at such a really prolific pace.
Yeah, this is like a Knicks game. I mean, it's 80-78 with 2 minutes to go in the game. This is going to be like one of those NBA Finals games from 1994. And Jordan's 28 points lead the Bulls by the Knicks. 89-85. Game five is Friday night.
Yeah, as we come inside the two-minute mark of this game, the Nets shooting 37%, 8 of 31 from three-point range at 23%, and the Bucks are down at 37% to 6 of 31. Not aesthetically pleasing. We did have near fisticuffs, so that was fun. Still trying to lip-read exactly what P.J. Tucker said to Kevin Durant with about 4 minutes left in the third quarter that got him to do a double take. Security ran on the court. It was chaos, but calmer heads prevailed, and now we're just grinding out the final minutes.
Yeah, I mean, really, did we? I don't know. We needed a fight to make it better. I mean, I don't know. I mean, would
yeah,
a fight?
I think this game.
I mean, the thing is, though, you still have big games from the star players.
Sure.
It's nobody else that's scoring. Look, KD just hits a huge three just now to give the Nets an 83-80 lead. There's a timeout with just over a minute left to go, right? He's having a big night, right? He's 33-11-5. Okay, that's fine. You know, Kyrie, you know, has 22. That's great. Giannis has 33. Middleton has 31. So really, it's like, okay, all the stars are playing well. Boy, it's everybody else that just stinks.
Bruce Brown, baby. 8-15. He's got 16-10. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, you're the Bucks. You walk away from this game and you go, did we really just lose to Bruce Brown?
Well, I mean, Joe Harris is 1 of 10.
Did we really just lose to Bruce Brown?
1 of 7 from 3. Yeah, it's the Bruce Brown game. We always talk about how you need that one guy to pop out in a series to make a difference. And after, look, the Bucks played dead. Just call it what it is. Make all your roadkill jokes off those first two games. The fact that they came out like a house of fire was great. But you've got Bruce Brown.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. This is going to be the Bruce Brown game. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, the Bucks are going to go, we lost to Bruce Bleepin' Brown. I mean, this guy's 16-10, right? I mean, he's only playing because of injury, and you know, we don't have to worry about James Harden, and Bruce Brown is coming in, and he's going to be the difference. Because our stars, Giannis and Middleton, were better than KD and Kyrie, right?
Well, Middleton finally had a game.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
33-14.
Mm-hmm.
50% from the field, 50% mm-hmm. from three-point range. Finally, you get Middleton to show up and give you what you've been thirsting for. And it doesn't matter, at least in the moment.
It really is just crazy. Now, I'm going to give you a number here, all right?
Yeah.
And this is going to be nuts, right? We're in the final minute of the game, right? We're in the final minute of the game, and it's 83-82. Brooklyn leads over Milwaukee. All right, now we talked about it, right? Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, the two stars, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Bucks, Giannis and Chris Middleton. If you take them out, okay, if you take those four players out, just these four, right? This is a full game that's been played now, right? The bench has played everybody. This is not midway through the second quarter. This is not. If you take those four out, the score of the game is 31-16 Nets.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if you take those four, it's 31-16 Nets.
Even better, 13 points combined off the bench from both teams.
Well, I'll tell you, man.
Combined zero production whatsoever. And it's not like Durant shot the ball well. He's just pure volume today.
Right. But sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need that. Sometimes when, you know, you need, that's what you want. You want him to, nobody else is hitting, so it's not like, boy, I really wish that Harris would take more shots. No. KD's got to keep shooting. That's just the way it goes. So sometimes you need a volume night like this. But this game is insanely bad and yet also riveting and somewhat impressive, but really, if the Nets go and win the title, we're going to look back and say, let's look back at the road to the NBA title for the Nets. And remember the Bruce Brown game? Oh, game three against the Bucks in the conference semifinals, and blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay, hey, it's the Bruce Brown game.
Yep, gotta always have that unsung star. And it'll be part of the video package. Let's talk about Bruce Brown.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right. From? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, like when you go to the chapters on the disc, chapter 17. Was all about Bruce Brown. Instrumental in that game three.
Right now, there is a timeout on the floor. 11 seconds left to go. And the Bucks, who remember, I picked to go to the NBA Finals. I picked the Bucks to go to the NBA Finals. Lead the Nets 84-83. The Nets come down with a 2-point lead and under 30 seconds left to go. And Bruce Brown misses a wide-open 15-foot pull-up. The rebound goes to the Bucks. Jrue Holiday has an incredible drive. He spun around about five times, goes in for the layup, and the Bucks have the 1-point lead, 84-83, with 11 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter. The Bucks, my, you know, I picked them to go to the finals, are either getting back in it, or the Bucks are no longer my. I mean, I never picked them to go to the NBA finals, so they're either my Bucks or they're not in the next 11.4 seconds.
Disavowing any knowledge of them. I've never heard of them.
It's all
it's like, what's the deal? Well, he's in an alternate timeline. He never experienced the Bucks in this 2020-2021 season.
I'm in Loki, right? I'm in Loki. There's one timeline. What about the other timelines? There's just one timeline.
Madeline and I sat and watched it today. I saw so much hate for it online. It's like, okay, number one, people are so used to instant everything. Slow builds are okay. It felt to me like a play, much of it. Like, here's two actors, and there's a little bit of stuff going on behind them, maybe a video screen or the one, but it's just getting in there. And I loved it. I thought it was great, and yeah. I'll go back and watch it again. I had fun with it because it was simple. It wasn't all the gadgetry that I think everybody was so anticipating, so they're mad.
No, you know, it was kind of like, it was a little bit like Men in Black, where we have to explain what's going on. And here's one thing that Marvel did, which is great, which, you know, sometimes they don't do, is that they spent a lot of time saying that, hey, we're going to explain what's going on here. And we're going to take our time so it doesn't look like we're slapdashing this thing together and now you're out and it's time. So they did a really good job. Hey, we're going to spend a lot of time with the setup because it's we don't want it to get too complicated because this series is going to set up the next phase of the MCU, right, with multiverse and why the, you know. So you have to explain. So I don't mind it. I didn't mind it. And I thought Owen Wilson was terrific. I'm like, wow, you know, he's going to get a lot of attention. He's going to jumpstart his career again.
Well, and Wedding Crashers 2 is in production.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I thought it was kind of in the middle. Man's most dangerous game, huh? Want to go hunt another human? I thought it was kind of in the middle. Like, it wasn't quite as great as WandaVision, because WandaVision was just spectacular. And it wasn't quite as cookie cutter as Falcon and Winter Soldier. Right, it's kind of in the middle right now. It's got the fun elements, they have the personalities, and it's going to be something that you're going to see is just going to continue to grow. Okay, great. So I feel like it's kind of in the middle right now, but I like the direction it's going. And you know, you hit it on the head when you said the other night. It looks like it's like a detective show because like you're finding out it's a whodunit. You're trying to find out who's committing this big crime, and Loki's involved, and Owen Wilson is involved, and then pretty soon they're going to get a bunch of people who know how to drill oil, and they're going to put them in a spaceship, and they're going to take them out to space with Affleck and Willis, and they're going to drill holes and try to stop the Earth from being blown up. It's going to be like Armageddon 2.
It's a fun base to it, just like we're coming to a fantastic finish in what was an otherwise... it was a close game after the second quarter run, so I guess it had that going for it. But the Bucks, your Bucks... trying to put the finishing touches on a victory. Madness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, look.
They showed life. That's good. I mean, Budenholzer didn't have to call them out and call them soft and quitters like Michael Malone has done three times to the Nuggets in the playoffs. And it's only the second round, man.
Right now, there are 2 seconds left in the game. The Bucks with a 3-point lead over the Nets. The Nets with a chance to take the lead down. Kyrie Irving misses on a lay-in, and they have to foul because the Bucks get the rebound. Middleton makes both free throws. So it's a 3-point lead right now with 2 seconds left to go in the game. The Nets will get a chance for one final heave to try and tie this game and send it to overtime. But, you know, here's the Nets at the end. KD does not take a shot in the final minute. It wasn't Kevin Durant. The last made shot he had, the last shot he took was with 1:55 left to go to tie the game at 80 apiece. And then when it comes down to it, Bruce Brown misses a jumper, and Kyrie Irving misses a layup, and it looks like the Nets are about 2.1 seconds away from being up 2-1 instead of 3-0.
Well, we've got a series. So good.
Yeah. My Bucks.
So good. I was starting to get nervous that they were just going to get run out, and then it becomes all about what's Giannis doing, and his Budenholzer are going to get fired. Well, when will Budenholzer get fired? Because we got a bunch of openings here in the NBA. Why not one more?
Oh, yeah.
We need one more? And all the bashing of Giannis. Look, he didn't shoot particularly well, but a win's a win. And you succeed and proceed, as we love to say around here. But for Giannis, a big game, a little bit of validation, and hit a couple of big mid-range jump shots, which hadn't been falling for him. 14 of 31 on the night, 33 and 14, couple of assists. 5 turnovers, but that's fine. Still +5 in the plus-minus column. So for him, a little bit of a sigh of relief, at least for a moment, because the poison pens were out.
Kevin Durant just misses a pretty wild three from about 35 feet off the back of the rim. No foul. And so the game is over. The Bucks beat the Nets 86-83. KD, didn't even say, "Up, I got fouled." He had the shot. It wasn't a great look, but it's about as good a look as you're going to get at that point. And KD really had a great push off to set himself up for the shot. So KD misses, and the Nets lead is cut in half. My Bucks. I'm like, I always knew my Bucks would get it done. I always, you know, people
said,
"Oh,
is that
the
strategy going forward? Is I'm going to threaten to abandon them nationally for 4 hours? I'm going to bash their effort, bash their fans, bash the state of Wisconsin." I mean, you did all of that on Tuesday night, and then you took a night off. So I had to be here with Ryan Hollins talking about all this stuff, people saying all sorts of crazy stuff about you. But, you know, for one night, we're back to where they're your Bucks. You reclaim them.
Bucks.
I think you have to send some money or buy somebody some cheese or beer or something. Or maybe a hunting license. I'm not sure.
You know, there's actually beer cheese soup that I've had that's really, really tasty.
If done properly, beer cheese soup can be fantastic.
It is fantastic.
And my Midwest roots are showing.
That's right. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. So my Bucks win it. 86-83. The 1994 NBA playoffs continue. Yes, 86-83 is your final score. And the Bucks. And look, the NBA is happy. The Nets are in a series. They get more of the big three. They get more of Giannis.
Sure.
This is a big night. Clearly, overall, of all the big stars, he had the best night. With 33 and 14, he and Middleton both completely outplayed KD and Kyrie Irving. But when you add Bruce Brown in, it happens that way. So it was a big night for the Bucks, big two. But who I feel bad for, Mike, is that now it's no longer the Bruce Brown game.
No,
I mean,
he missed that already didn't age well. Jumper, and that was it.
Yeah, that didn't age well. The Bruce Brown game, it didn't age well.
But you have to talk about it. We do live. I mean, it's live theater. It's in the moment. You know, we're not working off a script. Nobody's in our ears telling us what to say or prompters or anything. No, this is all live and in living color with the games in progress. We're about to get into Clippers and Jazz. I mean, how great is that going to be? It was Bruce Brown's game for those 4 minutes. Mm. I mean, we can NFT it because it'll never live again.
Yeah, yep, yep. Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. We have more on this game coming up next because already KD and Kyrie are getting all kinds of blame for not somehow winning this game. Is it legit? We'll get into that. Plus, all the good, which is everything, and all the bad, which is nothing, about the 12-team college football playoff that it looks like we're going to get. Keep it right here. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, you are listening to Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
And remember, the Clippers, who I picked to go to the NBA Finals. Oh, no, wait. Now they're down 4-2. No. I did not pick the Clippers. Clippers and the Jazz underway right now early in the first quarter. Jazz with a 4-2 lead. 11 minutes to go in the first quarter. We just watched the Bucks win a thriller. Yeah, they won a close game. Hey,
close
they
game.
Won a close
it's a
game.
Thriller.
They won
hey,
a close
considering
game.
The number of blowouts and craptastic games we've had to cover regular season and into these playoffs, I'll take it.
Yeah, look, hey, sometimes people like to confuse a close game with a great game. No, it just happened to be close. It wasn't a great game. It just happened to be close. Okay, if you're close at the end, you're close at the end. That's all. That's all.
I'm gonna elevate it to great games in this playoffs because you know what? When they recap, if, say, one of those teams were to win the NBA title, this is going to be part of the legacy of grinding one out and winning a huge game. It was that pivotal third game where no offense was at a premium. The benches had no composition, no registration in the box scores. You can't find record of them actually setting foot out of court. And the stars delivered. That's what their message is. How do you like that sell job? Is that good? I try.
Now, while we were speaking, while we were trying to sell you the end of the Nets-Bucks.
Sell.
And Harmon, you do a great job selling. That 4-2 game has turned into a 10-2 lead for the Jazz because guess who? Donovan Mitchell with 8 points already in the first 2 minutes, including two threes. He's got eight, and the Jazz are an 8-point lead over the Clippers. And I can't tell you how much hate. Look, I can never go to Phoenix again because once I tweeted out the other night, listen, Donovan Mitchell's the closest thing this league has to Kobe Bryant. It was like, did you forget about Devin Booker? Just because Devin Booker scores a lot of points. You know how many guys score a lot of points in the NBA? Everybody. Everybody scores a lot of points in the NBA. Many guys score 30, 40 points in a game. Mitchell has that Mamba mentality of when I get going, I'm going to do things that not many other people can do, and you're not getting in my way. It's not that he has the same kind of game as Kobe Bryant. Oh, well, you look at Devin Booker. Yeah. A lot of guys can score, right? Devin Booker's a terrific player. But that overall aspect and the way he attacks the game, yeah, I'm going with Donovan Mitchell. And it's like I said, Devin Booker is overrated and he shouldn't even be in the NBA. I can't go to Phoenix.
Well, that's
again.
What I
like
heard.
Going to Phoenix. I like Phoenix is a fun place for me to go. I like Phoenix.
How often have you been to Phoenix?
I just went to Phoenix a couple months ago.
No, I know you did, but was that your first?
No, I've been to Phoenix many times. But one of Pam's best friends lives in Phoenix. We've gone there. Remember, I went there. I usually go there once a year. We go to Phoenix at least. I have vacation in Phoenix and Detroit. That's what I do.
That's not a bad.
I'm a baller, man. I am a baller. I'm a baller.
I mean, the Michigan thing. I mean, there's a lot of lakes in Michigan, so that's okay.
There are. Well, we usually stay in the greater
Detroit
area. And
muskrat dinners.
Yes, that's true. Well, we did do a thing where now we're only really going to Detroit when it's nice. We're not going to go in the winter anymore. I'm like, all right, that's good. I like that. So it's usually...
So Pam listened to the show for 6 years of me telling you how dumb that was.
Finally. She's like, yeah, you know, I just don't want to go in the winter. I'm like, oh, thank goodness, you don't want to go in the winter anymore. So now this is I feel like this is like what really, really rich people do, except I'm like 17 rows down on that. It's like, well, I'm going to go to Detroit in the summer and Phoenix in the winter. It's
I
like,
was going to say you can't go in the fall because, I mean, there's nothing eventful happening there in the fall.
No, it's
hi Wolverines fans. Hi Jim Harbaugh.
Listen, that's a basketball school now. I mean, that's a basketball.
Well, until Juwan Howard takes the Indiana Pacers job.
No, he said he wasn't going. He said he wasn't going.
That's what he said today.
So I can't go. Look, Utah, they love me in Utah, obviously, but in Phoenix, I can't go. The audacity. Yeah, okay, you know what? Watch Donovan Mitchell. Watch Donovan Mitchell for 5 minutes when you see him on a streak and you understand what I'm saying. And this is not anything that Devin Booker's not a terrific player. Devin Booker's a terrific player. I've seen Donovan Mitchell do it for a little bit longer. I've seen him do it in the playoffs. I have seen Donovan Mitchell do it a couple of times. Again, I said in the playoffs, I've seen Donovan Mitchell do it.
Hey, well, this is you weren't even here to celebrate the Chris Paul game yesterday.
Yeah, I kind of missed that. I really wanted to be there for the Chris Paul game.
It was kind of a good deal.
I got Chris Paul stuff tonight. It's no worries, buddy.
There's a lot of celebration of Chris Paul.
I get all good.
Because, I mean, Ryan Hollins sitting there with me. I mean, the man knows his basketball history. So he was fired up. And we're gonna start playing 6 degrees of Ryan Hollins because he mentioned, hey, when I played for this coach. And I'm like, all right, are we going to do this? I mean, how many guys are off coaching trees where you played? The other thing is he made sure to point out that there's no way in hell you were ever getting a cheaper outfit than the one he had on.
Oh, no, yeah, we do that. When he and I have done shows, we do the cheap out. You want a cheap out? And we say, okay, how much did you pay for what you're wearing? And see who wins. And you win by paying the least amount of money. I always lose because he wears these sweatsuits where he goes, oh, I got this from the Clippers. I got this from UCLA. And I got this from here. And when you're 7'2", you don't really grow anymore. So all the clothes you get when you're 19 years old, you can still wear when you're 32, 33. I'm like, oh, he's going to win every time. And these are all like, you know, sweatsuits that are like, you know, $200, $300. Like, oh, I got this from the Clippers. I got this from here. I got this from UCLA.
Well, he was wearing, if I'm not mistaken, a pair of sweatpants from the 2014-15 season when he played 46 games for the Sacramento Kings because there
These
was a little crown. There
These
was a little crown on the pants near the pocket. So I looked at him. I go, yeah, I know where those came from.
These are my 2019.
He goes, hey.
I'll all go, hey, these are my 2019 Tommy Hilfiger sweatpants that I bought off of Amazon, right? I'm wearing these right now. These are my 2019 Tommy Hilfigers. Oh, this is my 2014-2015 Sacramento Kings. And they smell like cigarettes because I let Vlade use them for a while. Never comes out. It never comes out. All the cigarettes, you just can't smell it. It just doesn't happen.
Just fun.
Coming up in 90 seconds, we will tell you what is good, everything, and what is bad, nothing, about this potential 12-team college football playoff that it looks like we're going to get. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it looks like we are getting or going to get the 12-team college football playoff that has been thrown about the last couple of days. There's a couple of big meetings that are going on right now in which the college football playoff committee is going to consider expanding to a 12-team format. When it meets in Chicago next week, this is the big topic on the table. Now, what would it be? It would be the top 6 ranked conference champions and 6 wild cards. That's the main portion of the plan right now. Now, there's a lot of good to this, which basically is everything. We're getting a 12-team playoff. This is more teams that are involved. This is fantastic. This is everything you'd possibly want.
Absolutely.
And I've gone through and seen what people who don't like it are saying across social media, and because that's really what I want to know. Okay, if you don't like it, tell me why this is a bad idea when everything else points to the great idea this is. And here are the 3 things that I have seen for why people would say, oh, I don't like this idea. All right, here's the first one, is that you water down the playoffs a little bit. Okay, we're watering down the playoffs. We didn't go from 4 teams to 50. All right, you know, you're not going to see, hey, the 5th-ranked Texas A&M Aggies, they're going to play the 50th-ranked Syracuse Orange. Boy, that's going to be a bust. No, you're letting in 8 extra teams of the 120 teams in D1. You're not watering it down. You're putting pretty good teams out there. And, you know, in a sport where if you lose one game and it's the wrong one game, you get voted out. Tell me how that's fair. You're not watering down the playoff. Oh, well, so-and-so, this team lost three games. Well, you know what then? The team that has to play that team that lost three games is going to feel like we got an easy game going on here. I mean, I don't see how you're watering it down when teams get left out regularly that you can make a case for. One-loss teams that are ranked, you know, fifth and sixth and seventh, or two-loss teams when you're taking a bunch of one-loss teams and you got a two-loss team that lost a game here or a game here, they didn't have their quarterback this game or something else happened, you're not watering down the playoffs at all. You're putting in the best of the best. You're just saying we're going to put in a couple more of the great teams. Because are you telling me Oklahoma maybe last year couldn't have gone on a run? You know, if Oklahoma was in the play, because they would have been a team in the playoff last
Wildcats.
Year, if you're talking about 12 teams. Yeah, yep. You're talking about teams that could have got in. So, you know, we could make a run. UT would have got in. Northwestern would have got in last year.
Yep.
They almost won the Big Ten. How many people were sweating their asses off going, oh, my God, Northwestern could be in the playoff.
How
we might
that,
have to let
maybe.
Northwestern in.
Hey,
I mean, really.
They were to earn their way. Let in my ass.
Well, they still would have to be invited. I mean, it's not, you know, they still have to be invited into the.
Yeah, I would have crashed the door.
Yeah, but that's the first one. Is that you're not watering it down. You're adding in other really good teams that have been left out.
It's a terrible argument, right? And folks will say, well, look, there'll be another couple of blowouts. Maybe there will. Maybe there won't. Maybe you've got teams that start looking ahead. Maybe that's, like, as you said, the two-loss teams that get in, or even the one-loss. Maybe it was in September. And it came back to bite them in the ass because, well, they just a numbers game and weren't able to make up the ground. Maybe it's, you know, a, quote, bad loss in September, and then they go on a run. Or, as you say, in the middle of the season, you got an injury and the starter has to go out and they lose a narrow, you know, take a narrow loss. That's immense and would be, how many times in the past, something that keeps you out of the Final Four. Now you get in and you have a chance. And if after 5 years this proves that you got nothing but blowouts, you know, like the NBA playoffs most nights, then yeah, you can complain about it. But in the interim, it's just foolish. You're just looking for a reason that you don't like change.
Oh, yeah.
And let people on your lawn.
All these reasons have one thing in common. I just don't like something new. That's every single reason. I don't like this because it's new. Okay. Well, new things have to happen. I don't like it's new. It's new. All right. So that's the first one, right? All right. So that's the first one, is that you water it down. All right. That's a load of crap, right? That's an absolute load of crap. Second one, right? Why we don't like it. I don't like it. The regular season won't mean as much. Right. Because and I do understand that, boy, the stakes for a game early on in the season, if Ohio State is playing Oklahoma or Oklahoma's playing USC and these are both big teams that can win. OK, I get where that loss is really damaging. I understand that. But you want those games to still be played, don't you? I mean, because if you stick with this, why would USC play Oklahoma ever again? Why would those two teams ever play each other? They can't, because I don't want to risk that we're going to lose this one game and then we lose one game in conference. And instead of being a playoff team or playing in the conference championship, we're out. All right. So you want these games to still be played if you like these games, and this is what's going to ensure it. OK, we'll still play these games. They're big deals. It's big money for us. And we'll still play, because what we have to do is win our conference or we can be one of the six at large teams. If you like those games, this is how they stay. And the other part of it is, you're really going to tell me that if USC is playing Oklahoma in week two of the regular season and it's a huge game, less people are going to watch it? You're going to watch USC Oklahoma? I was going to, but now that there's 12 teams in the playoff, I really don't need to, because, you know, both these teams got, so I'm not going to watch this game. I mean, that's really what you're saying, is that all these games won't mean as much. So what? But no one's going to watch? Really? That's what it's going to be? That's going to make you... they're all going to make the playoffs. I'm just not going to watch this game. Of course you're going to watch the big games going on college football if they're on Saturday. There's big games on every week that you can watch. You watch all the big games. There's five big games every single week. Oh, well, this is not real. And a lot of them don't affect the top four picks or the top four places in the college football play, but people still watch them. They're still big deals. They're big SEC games. I mean, I don't see how that argument holds water either.
So sad. So, I mean, this might be the worst of the arguments, just from the concept of, we like these staged games, right, that they announce 7 years in advance. Mm-hmm. Right, we're starting to get stuff on the books for 2026, 2027. Hell, they did the huge event launch to talk about the Wildcats going to Dublin next year. By the way, I'll be out for a few days, okay. But you'll find me. But I'll be calling.
You're never coming back. You're never coming
calling,
back.
I may not. I may start roaming the fields. Might buy myself some farmland. You don't know.
He's going to call in from a pub. You know, this fella, he's on radio. No, not BBC. He's over in America.
You're sounding
on the Fox.
Like James Corden. Yeah.
He's on the Fox. That's right. That's what it is. It's where I'm doing. It's where you'd be calling in from.
No. You need to watch more Conor McGregor interviews and stuff. And
would you like a warm pint before you go on the air,
sir? Maybe
start
getting down that road.
I can get you a really warm pint of beer. Really, really
warm.
That
would be pretty good.
Like we kept it out in the sun.
Yeah, I could get down with that. But, like, we have these marquee games that are so hyped, and they're travel destinations for their fans and for the college football universe. Everything circles to them. That's not going to change. And again, it goes back to the one loss versus two. Even if you take an L there, you get some style points for putting yourself in a difficult matchup, and then just go take care of business thereafter. I don't see how that hurts anything, because we're not talking about, you know, fourth tier teams that suddenly show up in week one going, hey, we want to be noticed. No. We're still talking the best of the best, top 25 teams that are going to be in these marquee kickoff classic type things. So again, doesn't hold any weight.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen on the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So really, this stuff just doesn't make sense to say this is why we're not going to have a playoff. I want everybody to leave the front of my house right now so I can stand on my lawn without a shirt on and water it. That's what I want to do. Okay, and I'm just going to wear shorts and socks supporters and sandals. And I'm going to tell you why the old way they did things, which is to play a 6-game regular season and then vote Army in Notre Dame at the top is the right way to do things.
Nicely done.
That's what I feel like everybody is.
By the way, how much do you think Larry Scott hates that this idea is coming to fruition?
Yeah.
Right as he's leaving?
Yeah,
he did a lot of complaining the last 48 hours of how he got screwed time and again. And it's like, hey, 12-team playoff. And as Frostburg so astutely played, said, hey, you know, Slovis might have been able to play for the ship.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Hey, we got more in the NBA coming up right now. Utah leads the Clippers 24-19, but straight ahead, has Russell Wilson just wasted all our time, or is something else at play? It's coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Yes, sir.
Right now, Utah and the Clippers, 27-26 as we're coming down to it, the end of the first quarter. Clippers on a big run the last couple minutes. I believe it's a 10-3 run in the last 4 minutes for the Clippers right now. It's Kawhi and Paul George both have 5 for the Jazz. Donovan Mitchell is going to close the first quarter with 14 points as the Jazz are going to have a slight lead as we get to quarter number 2. Mitchell starting out, he's already 6 out of 9 from the floor. Apparently, he knows that I told everybody that, listen, Donovan Mitchell is the closest thing we have to Kobe Bryant in the league, and he's backing me up now. You know, all the Phoenix fans hate me. He's backing me up, and I dig that from Donovan Mitchell.
No, that's good. He heard the positivity. No exchanges with Shaq and company anymore. No, he listens to Fox Sports Radio, as he should. The iHeartRadio app, SiriusXM, Channel 83, 400-plus affiliates nationwide. I mean, how could you not? What was kind of fun for a moment in the box score, it said the Clippers were shooting 11 of 22 for 47.6% on the night, and I wanted to know who was
really
doing new math.
11 out of 22, and it was 47.6%.
It finally updated to 50%. I'm like, wow, that really, whoever hit enter on that, it really ran slowly.
You know what that is, man? That's Common Core. That's Common Core, man. That's what, watch out. Watch out for this new way people do math. You get answers like that.
Fuzzy math, man.
No,
fuzzy
that math. One can't do it. So did Russell Wilson waste all our time, or is he playing a different game? Today, Russell Wilson, who has been at Seahawks OTAs, spoke about his frustrations after last season. And he said that things were unfortunate, but at least for now, the tension between the Seahawks and Russell Wilson has subsided a bit. Quote, "I love Seattle. I love playing here. I've had a great career here so far. I think there was some unfortunate frustrations after the season." So this is where Russell Wilson is right now. He's back and he's going to play. Remember, this reached its big fever pitch earlier this offseason, in which Russell Wilson talked about his frustrations. "I don't like getting sacked as much as I do." And then it was thrown out by his agent. "Here are the teams he would accept a trade to." And at the time, I said, this is what Russell Wilson is doing. He is now, he's doing the anti-Aaron Rodgers in that he's laying the groundwork for, "I'm going to give you 1 year to get things going. And if things don't get going, then next offseason, that's when I'm going to go." Right? It was all warning signs from him, it seemed like. "Hey, listen, I don't want to get sacked like this. I want you to make sure we throw the football more. And this is kind of what I want. This is what I'm looking at. And if not, just to let you know I'm going to have options." And it got so out of control after Russell Wilson was on the Dan Patrick Show and he talked about his future and he said, "You got to ask the Seahawks what my future is." There was a lot of frustration. I thought, oh my God, he's going to get traded in the next week or so. And I remember saying that this could happen in like a month. He could be on a new team in a day. But this kind of subsided, and now it's back to what it was when it first came out. This was Russell Wilson saying, "You know, just let you know, not real happy with what's going on. I'll give you a chance this year." Already it's not off to a great start because the OC coming in wants to run the ball more. So you know that's not off to a good start for him. But after this year, if I don't like it, that's where we go. He's a young 34. He's still got a few years left. He can still go someplace he wants to go to if the Seahawks aren't going to continue to let Russ cook. So this is he gave him the warning. Now I'm back, and now we see how this year goes.
Well, I like his follow-up comment. I think anytime in sports, obviously things can change. That's just the reality, and everybody knows that. Heart of hearts, love this city, and then he goes back into his platitudes. Look, to some degree, I think you just have the Russell's a grown-up, and Russell realized the best chance for his legacy, his career, winning, is where he's at in Seattle. So maybe it's a slow burn. Maybe it is a wait and see. But for now, he's a guy that recognized, all right, I am Seattle football. And whatever the conversations were with Pete Carroll and all the front office execs, all the way up through ownership, he felt loved. Now, I implore Aaron Rodgers to be a grown-up, come back into a meeting room and have the same conversations, because I think we'll get to the same end, realizing 16 years in one place, legacy and everything else, pretty damn special too. See how I tied that together for you,
buddy? You did, buddy. You tied that together. I tell you, you tie things really nice. You tied your shoes very early as a kid, didn't you?
Oh, there's no question about it. My mom wasn't going to do it, so, you know, you can learn.
You want to go out and play? You want to stop falling on your face? Tie them yourself. All
figure right, it man, out we'll yourself. Double knot it, scotch tape it, whatever you need to do.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. It's the long game for Russell Wilson. This is going to happen in a year from now. Coming up next, we get back to that huge story out of college football. Fox.